Can you talk, Pastor?
I can talk.
Can you keep talking?
Why are you trying to turn me down, boy?
You're really loud in my headphones.
All right. Well, I just talk like a man.
You're saying I don't.
You need to listen like one. No, I'm just kidding. We get on Adam a lot here.
Yeah. What's your touching?
He's used to it at all churches he goes to. Yeah.
Hey, but you know what? I will say this, okay? Adam, you've been here for like a year?
Coming up on it, yeah.
Coming up on a year? That guy's been able to hack it pretty well.
I don't know.
Can you guys still hear me?
Trying to hack?
Can you hear me in your headphones? Pastor, can you hear me in your headphones?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Do you hear me more now?
No, dude,
no.
What you're doing?
Okay, hey, I'm just learning. I'm just learning. Just leave me alone.
You're just touching random things.
Just leave me alone.
Adam, you need to chill.
I'm chill.
We got your former pastor over here. Actually, let's just talk about stories about Adam from Church Foundation. Expose him. Expose him. Just kidding.
What was the stupidest thing he did over there?
There's a couple.
I want to compare it to what he's doing around here.
There's a couple.
Oh, man. I'm telling you. I like having this guy around.
There's a couple of stupid things.
Tyler Doka had like a real life looking one like that. Like he actually had.
Like speaking to the made. Mic. Speaking to the mic.
He had one made that was like.
Tyler Doka?
Yeah. It was like it had the dome on it and it had the. The earth actually looked like.
Yeah, you are.
It
looked like that.
Flat earth. Look at that. Stupid nonsense.
Anybody know where this thing originated, this flat earth?
Yeah, I think it's like some dude in like the 1960s who started like popularizing who he was like originally an atheist. And he, I think, that, yeah, this was the one he made. Exactly.
I've seen
from
that
way
one.
Before the 1960s.
No, I'm talking about the guy who popularized it, that it became popular again. And
1893 is the drawing.
See, that's like, what's a globe doing in the flat earth? Like, what in the world?
That's weird.
I'm a skeptic and I love the flat earth.
Oh, there's Tyler Doka's deal right there.
Oh, that's what he had?
Yeah, exactly like that.
And does it snow when he shakes it?
It's so funny because on that flat earth model, like, there's no structure to the planet there. And on a sphere, it's like the most structurally sound, one of the most structurally sound shapes that you can have.
Yeah.
Because it's all equal all around. And then there's bars, support bars through
bars.
It, apparently.
Bars.
No, but yeah, basically in the 1950s, some dude popularized it, and he was actually really into like that stuff Aleister Crowley was into.
LSD.
I forget what it's
LSD.
Called.
LSD.
What is that stuff called again? Like
Satanism.
LSD.
But yeah, he was
called Satan.
Yeah, Satanism, basically.
Yeah.
To keep it simple. But
wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Like blood magic and.
Enochian magic,
sex magic, and all that. Kind of
yeah,
shit.
That crap. You got to talk about.
Are you talking about this? So this is the guy who came up with that concept was into that stuff.
Yeah. Well, he didn't come up with the concept, but he repopularized it in the
50s.
Oh,
okay. I see what you're saying. All right. We're going to get started. Welcome to the Rod of Iron podcast, Fundamental Baptist, breaking down discussions, dogma, and daily events. I am your host, Pastor Bruce Mejia, First Works Baptist Church in Amati, California. Joined by the fundamentalists in our church, we have Brother Ray Flores, Adam Kinzari, Haitov Macy, and Marco Sanchez. And we got a special guest with us today, Pastor Aaron Thompson of Sure Foundation Baptist Church.
Wolf Killer.
Oh, yeah.
The, AKA the Wolf Killer, AKA Suge White. AKA Suge White. Looking forward to tonight's episode. Glad to have you, Pastor Thompson.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
Yeah.
Having a good time.
You having a good time?
Hiking mountains and...
Put him to work today.
Going to shrines with the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, I didn't know that was going to be on there because we're filming for this little film that we're putting out, and nice. I took him to Korean Friendship Bell in San Pedro. It's like this massive bell. Pull it up, Marcos.
Never heard of it.
Pull it up the Korean Friendship Bell. It's awesome. How many of you guys ever seen VR Troopers?
I don't know what that is.
You're the only one.
Yeah.
Dang.
I guess.
Is it a cartoon or something?
No, it was like a cheap knockoff of Power Rangers.
Oh, okay. Oh.
It was three of them. Anyways, when they would come out of this bell right here. So because we're looking for landmarks. Hey, you going to help us out, Marcos, or what? What's going on, dude?
Come on, dude. What kind of guy
this guy, bro?
What the heck?
Oh, see? There he is. See? There you go.
Oh.
Boom. Man. So anyways, we're at that place right there. And we're supposed to shoot there, but it was raining too much, and it was like going... It was too windy. But when we looked at the bell, it had the Statue of Liberty holding hands with some like Buddhist idol or something, right?
Heck.
Yeah, it was like a woman that had like the yin yang symbol in her hand.
Yeah,
and that's then,
like,
weird.
The Statue of Liberty, the tranny had like the torch or whatever.
Yeah,
so they're like holding prophet. Hands or something.
Yeah,
Statue of Liberty is a tranny.
Hey, I feel like Pastor Thompson's mic is low. Is it low?
No, it's just you're just hearing him low.
Yeah, you just gotta get into it.
To talk
you,
little,
you need to talk like Barry him? White.
Can't
he's good, right?
YOLO,
I hear him good.
You hear him pretty good?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, it was pretty weird. But we didn't even get to film there, so it didn't work out because it was too windy, and it just was a complete bust. But we're going somewhere in a couple days, so he's going to be here tomorrow. Actually, when everyone hears this, they would have already heard the sermon.
Right.
He's preaching tomorrow, so it's going to be great. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to a great episode. We're going to get into the prison industrial complex, and then whatever other subject we get into. We're going to get into a little bit of gas. What is it? What do we say?
Gassy wives.
Gaslight preaching. Gaslight preaching. Gaslighting and preaching. So, hey, are we ready?
Let's go.
All right. Let's go ahead and get started. Dun, 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 dun. So what's going on? How's the church going over there?
It's going great.
Yeah?
It's going great. Yeah. After, we just had like 98 in church on last Sunday.
Nice.
So, oh, nice.
Yeah.
It's growing.
It's doing well.
Good deal.
We lost some people during the Rona stuff, but.
Same here? Same here?
People coming back, so.
Are you still getting protests?
No, that was only a couple weeks that lasted.
Sodomites
can't
handle
that. They realized there was no, nothing was going to happen.
Delivery or pick up?
I sat outside and burned on them for a couple weekends in a row.
You burned on them?
I mean, have them deliver it. I mean, you can't. Oh, unless Hike wants to go pick it up.
I'll just get it delivered.
Yeah, I like this guy.
Yeah,
I mean, exactly.
Because Armenians don't pick up anything. We get everything delivered.
We put it down. We don't pick it up.
I'll pay someone to go pick it up.
Armenians,
it's a true
bro.
Saying.
Is that a true saying worthy of all acceptation? Man, I get the day off tomorrow, man. I'm glad. I get a Sunday off.
What are you preaching on tomorrow?
What's that?
What are you going to do?
I'm going to go to church.
I only got enough material for one sermon, so.
Burn!
This guy will always take it
to the another
to where
level,
you're not trying to take
pow,
it.
Pow,
you're like,
pow,
all right, where
pow,
to...
pow, 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 you're in this
it's
game.
Like, it's like, yeah, we're going to get close to the line, right? We're going to take it to the line. He's like, let's just go over.
We're like, this is the line, right? We're like, we're going to go right here. And Marcos is all
straight up, bro.
That's Marcos right there.
That's him in a nutshell.
We go up to the line. He's just like... Dang, man. Now I got to edit all that out and stuff.
That's like your catchphrase. I'm like, oh, I have my sermon, but I'm out of time.
I'm out of time. Dude, I do that a lot. Because sometimes I just go off on a tangent or chase a rabbit and I skin it, kill it, make stew out of it, and then
eat it,
make everyone else eat it.
Dang.
Dude.
Yeah.
What's going on? Is he here already or what?
Who?
The pizza delivery guy?
Dang,
or
bro.
I thought that was what you were telling him to get
that
up.
That was quick.
Are the cameras good?
It's not delivery, it's DiGiorno.
He's hitting recording on all of them.
Okay.
But should we get them all pepperoni pizza. Or what?
Pepperoni.
Pepperoni, mushrooms.
Mix it up a little bit.
What do you
bit.
Want, Pastor
that,
Thompson?
I got that special that they had on there.
Get spaghetti.
Meat lovers or whatever? Or
I
what?
I don't know. It was like the whatever special they had. Their famous pizza or whatever. Pizza.
Just get whatever. Just no olives or anchovies, all right?
Yeah,
and no just plain cheese pizza either.
Or baby corn.
Hike.
Baby corn.
No baby
pizza.
Corn on.
Actually, they put corn on pizza.
How many of you guys like just plain cheese pizza? What? Like
extra tomatoes.
Get absolutely like three. Nobody.
I don't dislike it.
I think three would be good, right?
Okay.
I don't want
you,
pizza.
Can you eat a good amount?
Yeah.
Can you put it down?
A little bit.
I put it down a lot of it.
Well, we're going to Cane's tomorrow night.
Amen.
In honor.
I've never been there.
They don't have it in Washington, right?
No.
Dang, that sucks.
We're going in honor of Pastor Thompson.
So it's just chicken?
It's just chicken.
Excuse me?
Get out.
Or here. No, but is it like some kind of style? Of
it's just
like
southern.
Special? It's just chicken tenders.
Chicken,
and
chicken
stuff.
Fingers, but they're
chicken
the best.
They got chicken tendies.
Yeah, when people, when they virtue signal, it's just like a, it just irritates the finer me, you know?
Yep.
Like, you can't drink Starbucks. You can't do this. You can't do that.
Yeah, when people just try to virtue signal, it's like...
You can't shop at a grocery store. They have alcohol in there. I mean, I avoid it. I pass.
What's your email address?
If you look at the alcohol, you have to leave the grocery store.
Just call
email
them.
Email address for the card?
You can't just call them?
I think it's for the order.
Yeah, you should be able to call
them. Why don't you just call them?
Well, I mean, yeah. Order online, but...
Yeah, but look at all the stuff you got to go through to do that.
Now we can't even have it. Yeah.
Just call them.
Now we're just looking at a
when I said you can't call them, Marcos is like... Yeah.
Well, you told me to order online too, so I was like, oh, okay, you're almost done though.
Oh man, here we go.
Just call them, bro.
Is this really an upgrade from Ulysses?
It was my dude. This is when I had the massive beard. I think it was like down to here. Because you
that's
know when
the
you're
Muslim
in the
beard right
when
there.
You, yeah, when you're in the old IFB, they don't let you have beards.
They call that the Nebuchadnezzar.
When you're in the old IFB, they don't let you have beards.
I know.
You have to shave.
It's wicked.
Yeah, you're like a hippie and stuff.
Shave those mangy beards.
That's Bill McGregor, idiot.
Yeah.
I didn't even watch the clip, man. I can't.
The Bill McGregor.
I saw one time when he said that.
The Bill McGregor clip.
But it sounds like he sounds like a sodomite though.
That clip's like the weakest one. His other clips though about his like end time stuff are so funny.
Like Jupiter and all that.
Like
dude,
the most
hell being in the center. Hell being in the center of Saturn and like.
No. He thinks that they're building the new Jerusalem on Saturn.
Yeah, well they are.
On the gas planet? Isn't that a gas planet?
Bill McGregor.
That's what they want you to think.
That guy preaches from like his bathroom, right? Like,
no, that's his podcast.
It's a garage. It's a garage. He preaches from a garage.
Polka dot.
Are you serious? Are
polka
you
dot.
Yeah.
Shower curtain. It's all echoing.
Who's running with him?
Well, you know who was? It was Pastor Perry and Pastor Joe Major. So
what do you mean?
What do you mean they're running with him?
They were like yoked up with him. Like Pastor Perry was like good buddies with him. They do interviews all the time. You don't remember that? Yeah.
That was back when he was like
he was within
weird. The new... He was like dumb, but
he wasn't
he hadn't exposed himself yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, Manly Perry's gone off the deep end, let's just be honest. Gone off deep. Deep.
Nobody roasting hail.
I never said nobody would.
We say people fry like a hot dog.
Check out the context, people. Sermon's down.
They burn, but not in the way you think they burn. Like, what?
What? Aluminum.
Those guys are crazy, man.
They're whack.
Bill McGregor looks just like Luke Skywalker.
He does.
He does.
Those memes, the Luke Skywalker memes were classic, man. Pull up some of those Luke Skywalker memes if you...
Look, there's Bill McGregor right there.
I had this funny meme.
Oh man, dude, that's Luke Skywalker.
No, all right, pull up
Luke Skywalker.
Yeah,
the tuning fork.
You know he was gonna name his church Tuning Fork Baptist Church.
No way,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, but he then settled on Trinity.
Stop saying tuning fork. It's not gonna happen. All those videos that he made where he has a background like a green screen, but just his face is like right there all moving around it. They're so funny.
What
dude.
Happened? Hey Pastor, do you know what happened to the other Bozo Gleb?
Funny.
Do you know what happened to him?
No. It said on his website that it was shut down.
Yeah.
The church was shut down for medical reasons.
It just hasn't come back?
Some health problems. So
good.
Yeah. He's done.
It's good.
Amen. Let's see.
No, look up the octagon on or the
if you
place
some
hexagon
on
Saturn.
Yeah.
Look at the hexagon. On
listen,
Saturn.
Hike.
The black cube.
If you play it, you got to turn it down on YouTube because it's gonna be really loud.
No, don't play anything. Just look up the image of the, like on Google Images.
Oh.
Just Google it. Hexagon on.
Black cube on Saturn.
No, just hexagon on.
Just do
Saturn.
As you're told, Hike.
On Google it's not Images.
A black cube. There's no cube there. No man has been there. Saturn. Don't start getting weird on me, bro. 10th planet in the barrel. I got it.
That's where they got the Kaaba.
It's a cube, bro.
No,
so he says,
what kind of cube?
Hold on. So he says, well, first of all, a cube does look like. No. So he says that is
bro.
Where they're building the New Jerusalem.
Who's they?
God. Bill McGregor. He says God's building the New Jerusalem right there, and all the angels are all working on it right now. They got hammers.
What in the world?
Drills. Yeah. He said, that's the New Jerusalem right there. It's going to come down.
What's his scripture?
He's into super.
He doesn't have any scripture.
Numerology. It's like numerology.
He's the tuning fork. He's the tuning fork.
He's like, yeah, it's Saturn.
Bizarre hexagon on Saturn.
Damastians chapter one.
But Ray, isn't there like a bunch of like weird occult stuff surrounding,
that is beautiful.
Surrounding Saturn? Yeah, and like, yeah.
That's beautiful. That looks beautiful, huh?
Yeah.
Yep.
It's like God's creation. Right,
that's what
there.
Catholics believe too. That
it's God's creation. It's just not the New Jerusalem.
And there it is. There's the Kaaba.
The GameCube.
Stupid.
What does that have to do with Saturn?
Because he was talking about the GameCube and all that being on Saturn. Pizza on its way or what?
Mm-hmm. All right. You see how it's a cube?
A cube is hexagon. It looks like a hexagon.
Yeah. Okay.
True.
Looks like the Mercedes-Benz.
So you preached a sermon recently
on
the beast of the earth. Mm-hmm. That was an awesome sermon.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, that inspired the podcast talk on the Man-Eaters of Savo.
That was great. Because
I ended up getting the book, and I listened through it. It was awesome. That's a cool story.
It is.
And now I get a bunch of recommended books about like animals eating like people and stuff. It's just like, dude, it's crazy.
Well, there was a guy named Jim Corbett, and he was a Bengal tiger hunter and leopard hunter in India also. And mm-hmm. he was like a legend or whatever. So I think he went and tried to help that guy or something. But anyway, Jim Corbett, he killed this jaguar that killed, you know, several hundred people.
Yeah.
So
that was a cool sermon. That's one of those like classic sermons of just like they're just unique. You know what I mean? But it's just like it's relevant because the Bible talks about it. It's really cool.
It was like a long sermon.
Yeah.
It was
like there's a lot of examples.
Or something.
Well, I guess we could talk about it now because by the time people listen to this, they would already have known about the sermons. But he's preaching on Savage tomorrow. All the savage moments in the Bible.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of them.
There's a lot of
them. I'm not preaching on all of them.
No, no, no. He's preaching. He's highlighting a few, obviously. Yeah.
Is
no,
Ehud?
Time
Ehud,
not permit.
Ahud's shoving the sword
that's
in there.
The first assassin
that's
in history.
Too. I didn't even get that one.
That's
bad.
Yeah.
It's the first assassin in history.
That one's good,
so
man.
So many. But, you know, God's men are not savage at all. Just
yeah, but according to Johnson.
Yeah, he's going to trigger him.
Oh, that's true.
He's going to get so mad.
He's savage. Savage.
I got to make a meme. I got to make a meme of Tom. You know that Tom meme? Let me pull it up real quick. This is how he looks every time he sees the podcast come up.
I'll try not to cuss during the sermon.
Yeah. What's going on?
I can't hear you guys at all.
Good.
We can hear each other.
I can hear.
It's just your connection over there or whatever.
Dag nabbit.
Where's it at?
Is that a cuss?
Every time the Rod of Iron podcast comes on, that's him.
Because
he hates the podcast.
Oh, he does?
Oh, yeah.
Does he comment on it?
No, but he was talking crap about it.
Yeah, he was saying that we were like, well, what did he say about it? Yeah, a bunch of thugs.
He said, yeah, he
said
we're thugs.
A bunch of gangsters from the hood.
A bunch of the rap culture thugs over there. Shut up.
Virtue signaler.
Virtue
signaler.
Why you
got to pick on Ray like that?
Dang, bro. Come on, man.
Somebody posted this Paula White.
Oh, yeah. She's praying for her.
She's going like.
She's praying for yeah.
Potato, potato, potato.
She does that all the time, though.
Louisa.
Potato, potato, tomato, tomato.
Louisa was going to make a meme.
Sound like a mumble rapper?
Yeah, dude.
She sounded like a mumble rapper.
Louisa was going to make a meme out of that. She's going to put like a rap beat behind her. She's going to go like.
Tomato, tomato, potato, potato.
She was praying for Donald Trump, I think.
I think she does that. She's done that a couple times, right? Where she's like speaking in tongues or whatever.
But the guy that clowns are at the end of that clip, that dude's fine.
Clowns?
He's the one that, like, if you watch the Facebook video of it.
Everything good or what?
He's the same dude that makes fun of the people.
Can you hear it or no?
Release doves. That
you feel left out or what?
Yeah.
He's like, how are you going to kill the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost? Like, when he lets the pigeon, you know, the doves go and they get hit by a semi-truck. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't seen that. All right, so someone define for me, what is virtue signaling? What is that, Pastor Thompson?
Virtue signaling. That's when you want everybody to look at how great you are and
how spiritual you are, how virtuous you are.
You know.
Yeah.
It's attempting to look more like virtuous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at me. I got five rescue puppies, and you know, I got them all from the shelter.
I don't.
Basically,
think
it's like if we were to compare it to the
Look
Bible.
At me, I'm not wearing
what the Bible
mask
says.
At Walmart.
It's, yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's what the Pharisees did, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I tithe, you know, give of all the 10%, and I fast twice a week, and give all tithes
like
and all
Treber,
this.
Like Jack Treber.
Oh
when
yeah.
He's bent down in front of the.
Oh, I got the
oh,
best
dude.
Meme for that.
Dude,
the
he's trumpet. Got a good meme when it came to that. That was a
is
good
that
one.
The trumpet one where it's the trumpet?
That was me. Okay. He made another one. It was good. He's like, once again, I'm asking for your
support. Oh, yeah, the Bernie Sanders thing?
Yeah,
oh,
but it's but nice. It's but it's different, though. Look at this one. Look at that.
Is there some way we can show it to the camera? I see.
You can't show it to the camera.
We can't?
No, but you can put it, you can slice it in.
Perfect.
Whose phone is it?
I'm sick and tired of people virtue signaling like that.
Yeah.
Gets old.
And some people they're not even like, obviously all virtue signaling is wrong. Mm-hmm. But when you have these blatant people or these people who just are blatant about it and they just like are not discreet about it at all, you know, it's just like.
It's hecka cringy.
It's very cringe. It's extremely cringe. It's cringematic. They think they think very highly of themselves.
Did you say hecka?
The one I hate the most.
Not to cuss.
Yeah, yeah. For Michael Johnson's sake.
The most cringe one, though, is people who get three-legged dogs. I can't stand that.
I haven't seen that.
What?
Like from the shelter?
He's a rescue puppy. Move out of the way.
Three-legged dogs.
Well, don't they do that? I've seen that on social media where like a guy will come up with his camera and you see him like with money in his hand. And he's like giving like the money to like some poor
or homeless people.
Some homeless person.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
That's virtuous.
That's wicked, though. That's funny. They're trying to be so good, but they're actually just being wicked.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't like these people. Like, there's a bunch of people, they try to throw cold water on the new IFB all the time.
Oh, yeah.
They try to cool everybody down. I understand sometimes people go overboard, but it's like, I'd rather that culture, like, that be the culture is that we're too hot
than too
to
cold.
Be too cold.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, far from cold.
It's always good to be zealously affected in a good
and
thing,
like,
Paul
and,
said.
Yeah, and the culture of the new IFB is, like, it's hardcore. Like, you don't want to throw water on that. Like, these guys want to throw water on that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they need to heat up, these guys.
Yeah.
And these are always the guys that talk like, they, like, act like citizens. Like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Need to toughen up. They honestly need to toughen up. They need to visit.
Well, look, obviously there's people out there that need to chill out, but I'm not going to be the one to tell them.
Yeah.
Let God deal with those people.
Yeah.
What makes you think you have the right to tell someone else that they need to chill out? You know what I mean? Someone who's not your church member. Like, I have the right to tell my church members that.
Right.
You know, if I feel like my church members are getting out of hand or something like that, and, you know, then I come down on them. But what makes you think, not you, but I'm saying what makes like another pastor or even that, just like a regular church member, right? Some YouTuber or something. What makes them think they have the right to like challenge people and like correct people?
Like, for some reason they think that they're not a layman anymore. They're like, well, I make videos, so I'm not a layman.
Yeah, like he's a like they're like, a butt.
What?
Right?
Yeah.
What is that?
Dude, if my YouTube channel went away tomorrow, I'd still be a pastor. Like, I have my church.
Yeah.
The YouTube thing is like the side thing that I do.
If the YouTube channel went away for them, they'd just be just
they'd nothing. Be done. No one's gonna listen to them.
Yeah.
They don't have an audience.
It'd be like going back to cassette tapes. Buy these cassette tapes.
But even then, this is like some of these guys think very highly of themselves.
Yeah.
Like they feel like they've earned a position. It's like there's two positions in Christianity. It's like you're either a pastor or you're a YouTuber.
Yeah.
It's like they're ordained YouTubers or whatever, you know?
It's like, dude, what's up, guys? It's Pastor So and So.
Brother So and So.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's a little weird.
They need to chill out. They need to chill out. Need to chill out. I'm trying to chill other people out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they didn't get based.
What?
Yeah.
They need to get based.
You didn't, you're not using that right.
Yeah, they need to get a based. Yeah.
I'm using the biblical term.
No, we're based. They need to get a based.
Based and red pilled and woke. But they're blue pilled.
They're blue pilled. Yeah, they do need to get humbled. I'm not for that, man.
Well, people can see through that, though, and that's the thing that, you know, sometimes virtue signalers, just people see what they're doing, and it finally just they're like, okay, these people are super, you know, just patting themselves on the back, blowing the trumpet, and, you know, it gets weird, and people notice it, but people don't want to say anything because people want to have respect for pastors and things like that and these people, and they don't know, like, you know, well, maybe this guy's in tight with that pastor, and they don't want to blow him up or whatever.
Right.
So, you know, but eventually they're going to get found out. You know, people get tired of seeing the same old, you know, crap that they're trying to. Mm-hmm. Oh, I said crap. Oh, man.
Oh, sorry, you cussed.
You got to get off the podcast.
He cussed.
Beep that out. Beep that out. But you know what I'm saying? Like, people are going to see that eventually. You know, there's always the drones that are going to just, you know, go with them and be the yes men. But, you know, people see it. And, like, even by the time, like, the Red Hot Preaching Conference came, you know, I think things were said that everybody wanted to hear said.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
So.
Mm.
Lots of virtues.
A lot of things I want to say about that.
Lots of virtue over from January to
June. He's just making me think about certain things that I want to talk about, but I'm not going to.
Pastor's like, you know what? I think I'm going to preach tomorrow morning.
You know what? Why don't you just chill out, Pastor
Thompson? Give me a half hour.
Yeah, give me. I'm going to preach my sermon during the announcements.
So how about we just have like three services? Like,
I got too much material.
Dang, Adam. He's taking shots. He's taking shots, bro.
Well,
yep.
Virtue
yep.
signaling is definitely a big thing. And social media really just kind of brings it about even
You know
worse.
What's crazy, though, is some people who do it, who are really guilty of virtue signaling, it's like they don't even see it. Like, they're so blinded by their pride that they don't even see it. Because you read some of their stuff, it's just like, whoa, this person is just caking it on. But they don't even see it themselves.
Right.
You know? But,
it's weird.
It is.
And like, you ever see those people, they talk like they're, like, in the King James Bible? Like, they're using, like,
Thou
brethren is great. It's like, come on, dude.
Yeah.
Keep it real.
My wife was telling me, she she was telling me, she said that sometimes, because she comes from old IFB, we come from old IFB churches, but she grew up in old IFB church.
Tied in the wool.
Yeah, and she basically was telling me that one of the things that they're guilty of when it comes to virtue signaling is the fact that they think that they have the edge on the truth. Like, they know the right way, and everyone should follow what they do.
Right.
You know? And they're guilty of that sometimes, where they feel like, well, we've always done it this way. We're successful at being Christians or whatever. And so they feel like they can't be corrected. They can't be wrong. And don't tell them that they are, because then they see that as a threat upon them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But
yeah, they'll say, just show me in the Bible and I'll change. But then when someone shows them in the Bible, they're like, oh, no, you're wrong.
Yeah.
But they know they're wrong.
Right.
You know what I mean? So if you say that, like, to your people in the pulpit,
mm-hmm.
someone's going to come up and challenge you. And, you know, do you have too much pride to let someone teach you something every once in a while? I mean, we're not always right about everything. So.
Right. Well, you know what we're right about is Leviticus 20:13.
Amen.
And we should be preaching about Leviticus 20:13. Amen. And you know what? Hey, how many of you guys have been edified when I talk about Leviticus 20:13 in church?
Yep. Yep.
Have you guys been edified when I talk about that? Has that edified your spirit?
Yes, sir.
Don't you learn something new every time we talk about something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's what we believe. And you know what? Preaching Leviticus 20:13 reinforces what we already believe. And you know what? Because we're a church that's constantly reaching new people, there's new people who haven't heard about Leviticus 20:13.
Yeah.
So you know what? When I preach on Leviticus 20:13, I'm edifying the brethren who've already heard it by reinforcing what they already believe. Mm-hmm. And I'm also teaching the brand new person in our church about Leviticus 20:13.
Yep.
Amen?
Yeah.
We also live in a world that's so far from that, like so against it, that it's got to be brought up all the time.
Oh, yeah. What is that?
Yep. Who is that?
Somebody trying to call me.
You got to hit the red one.
You Android users.
I've recently converted.
You've recently converted right there. That's what I'm talking about.
Hey, you know what the worst Facebook pages for that is? This one called Baptist Christians.
I haven't heard that.
You never seen that?
No.
You're on there... Pastor Aaron Thompson.
Sorry, I'm trying to get my ringtone off.
No, don't worry about it. Just
you know that that Facebook page, Baptist Christians.
Are you on there?
Yeah. This is just all kinds of stupid people on there.
Well, Facebook is like for boomers now. I don't know who uses Facebook. If you do, no offense.
Settle down.
Is that your main social media?
Dude, we could jump this guy after, don't we?
Yeah, don't worry. You want us to jump Adam? We can jump Adam.
I don't need any help.
Oh, we'll hold him down.
Dang.
Choke slam him.
Beat his leg.
I use Facebook.
I take it back.
I'm not a boomer.
Hey,
you guys use Facebook too, right?
Yeah, because a lot of
freaking Mark
for boomers. This guy's over here using Twitter.
He still uses Twitter. That's a boomer.
Donald Trump uses Twitter. Like,
yeah, that's why I'm on there. That's why he's on there. That's why I'm on there.
Boomer.
Donald Trump is like the biggest boomer, dude. Like, he's a boomer of boomers.
No, he's got Zoomer energy. He's youthful.
Yeah, he's got dragon energy.
Bro, all old IFB pastors use Twitter. They're all about that.
Facebook.
The tweeting.
Really? Oh, old IFB.
Yeah, like Jeff Fugit was like on there like this week. He's like, I'll pray for President Trump. And he's like has a picture of him and President Trump like when they met.
Adam just likes Twitter because he has a large following on Twitter. Don't you have like 2,000 people on there or something?
I got banned, but I used to.
Isn't he the guy that like last time during the election he was like, they put this clerk in jail for 5 days.
Yeah.
5 days. You know, it's like some lady that believed in work salvation or something.
Yeah, and he gave her like a reward.
It
or something,
does matter.
Right?
It does matter who you vote for, Adam.
Make sure that you. Who's in case someone knocks. Yeah, exactly.
Adam, it does matter who you vote for. It does matter.
I don't know the reference to that.
Well, you're talking about Fugit, right?
See, that's because you're on Twitter, bro.
Yeah,
that's
see?
The problem.
Give me a hard
he
time.
Just likes Twitter because he had like 1,000 or 2,000 followers or something, right? Don't you like?
Something like that, yeah.
You know how much he has something like that. You know this guy knew exactly how much
this guy wants his own following or what?
He was verified.
Want to get up in
Twitter.
The pulpit and start preaching?
He was verified on Twitter?
I'm just kidding.
I'm actually Baron Trump.
He's banned right now on Twitter.
That's sad.
Shadow banned.
He thought his boy Trump was gonna bail him out.
That's why I voted for him. He promised me he would.
You
Canadian
you.
Boy, you can't vote.
Man, that book that is called "The Adventures of Baron Trump" is written like in the 1800s. Like, dude, that thing's weird. Dude.
What are you
it's so satanic and wicked?
Baron Trump?
I've never heard of it. This book is called "The Adventures of Baron Trump" and it's written like in the 1800s. And dude, like people had the references. It said something about November 3rd. Like being like this big event happening, and that's when like the elections. Like, dude, it's so weird. Like, it's so weird.
Who
like,
wrote it?
I don't know who wrote it, but it's one of those. It's one of those. What do you call it? Like, what do they call it? Predictive programming.
Oh.
It's written in the
1800s. Yeah, and Trump's son is named Baron too.
Yeah, Trump's son's named Baron Trump.
Oh yeah, wasn't his dad like named?
His dad was. His dad was named John Christ Trump.
Yeah, but they talk about someone named Don Trump in there.
That sounds like too good to be true.
Dude, this is like for real. That's
is it?
Pull it up, pull it up, pull it up. Yeah, so gaslighting's pretty wicked. We're talking about virtue signaling, but then also along with that, there's people who are guilty of gaslighting, right? Explain to us what gaslighting is.
Gaslighting is like, you know, someone, you know, you just totally discredit everything that someone says, like, you know, and try to make their truth a lie.
Yeah.
Basically. I mean, maybe I'm not explaining that right, but it's like when you how do I want to say this? Like say someone like your wife hits you and you're like, you know, that really hurt. She's like, no, it didn't. It didn't hurt that bad. That's what gaslighting is basically.
Yeah.
Like you're trying to, you know,
make them believe
minimize what somebody else is putting forth, the truth that they're putting forth.
I think Pastor Thompson needs to get into
the
mic.
You need
sorry. So it's basically like, you know, you're trying to discredit other people's truth.
Yeah.
You know, and make your truth the right truth. And you go over the top, you know, and like I can think of specific, you know, things that people go over the top with. It's like, you know, well, if we really did go back to the Bible times, you know, and implemented that justice, that we'd be the new IFB would be putting everybody to death.
Yeah.
You know.
Good.
That's gaslighting.
Everybody. That is gaslighting, and that's you know, when you're gaslighting, when you're preaching, that's you make some, you like go too far with a point that you're trying to make and try to make that reality. Like
right.
We're reprobating everybody.
Yeah,
that's gaslighting.
Now I was talking to Pastor Thompson about this, just as a sub point to that. I just want to let everyone know that I do reprobate people.
You have that power.
Well, here's the thing: is like reprobate means to like reject people. So I reject people all the time.
Right.
You know, when you know, there's a heretic or there's people who are just, I don't want to associate with, I reprobate them. I reject them, right? I'm just like, I don't want nothing to do with this person. That's what it means to reprobate them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when people say, oh, you know, these guys reprobate people all the time, to a certain extent, they're right, because I do reject people. I'm like, I don't want nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
You lying weasel. Why do I want anything to do with you? I'm going to reprobate you. You're reprobated. You're rejected from being my friend.
It's weird that they're so scared of being reprobated, too. Like, if it's not true, like, why even worry about it?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, if somebody called you a reprobate, would you even care? Because obviously, no. No. But these guys are like, oh, no, he reprobated me because they know you have that influence.
Exactly. Or they say that because of the fact that it's like, maybe they know that they're a reprobate.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, stop preaching weird stuff.
Yeah. You
know? I mean,
if someone called me a reprobate, I wouldn't be going over the top trying to prove that I'm not a reprobate.
Exactly.
It's
yeah.
like, what? I'm just.
It would just
business as usual for me.
You wouldn't even care.
Just do whatever. Just keep doing what I'm doing.
So that's it. That's Barron.
That's how you prove that you're not a reprobate. Just do what you're doing, right?
Barron Trump's marvelous underground journey. Is that the book?
That's the book.
Go down.
It's a series.
He's
of
that one right there on the right. It says where it
speaking
says
to the mic.
We're talking about the last president. That's it. Okay. But go back on the pictures and scroll up. Go up till you see this one with like red. Now, click
that.
On. Click on
Donald
click
Trump.
On that.
Oh, I've heard of this. I've heard.
Well,
of
little Baron, what thinkest thou of Don Fum's world within a world? And then he says, little Baron, much as thy mother and I shall dread to think of thy being again out from under the safe protection of this venerable roof, the moss-grown tiles of which have sheltered so many generations of the Trumps, yet must we not be selfish in this matter. Heaven forbid that such a thought should move our souls to stay thee. The honor of our family, thy fame. Bro, what? Can I keep reading? Thy fame as an explorer of strange lands and faraway corners of the globe. Call unto us to be strong-hearted. Therefore, my dear boy, blah, 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 blah. I mean.
Well, I've actually heard about the Donald Trump time traveler theory. Do you guys know who?
We're not getting into that.
It's kind of. I don't believe it, obviously, but it's interesting.
Yeah, you better not. It's not even interesting. What do you mean? Is it interesting?
Have you've heard about it?
Yes, I've heard about it.
I believe it's real. There's some facts to it.
I mean, no.
50%. Time traveling is real. I'm a time traveler.
Mute his mic. Mute Adam's mic, please. We're going to talk about gaslighting right now. Okay, we're not talking about time traveling. There's only one time traveler in the history of mankind, and that will be Jesus Christ.
True.
Because he was here 2,000 years ago, and he's going to come back again. Amen?
Amen.
He's the only time traveler that exists. Because he... transcends time, amen. He lives in the vastness of eternity. So,
absolutely.
Put a fork in that thought.
Got that, Adam?
Sorry.
All right. All right then. Anyways, gaslighting. You know what gaslighting is?
Yeah, he just explained it.
Do you agree with that definition?
It's when you cause someone to believe, like you put them in like this.
Speaking to the mic.
It would be like talking about, okay, these people reprobate people and stuff like that to make cause their followers to be like, oh, the reprobate doctrine's bad.
Yeah.
So it's like you put shade on a specific topic to where you make it the bad thing, but that's like an actual true thing.
It's basically when you manipulate the narrative.
Manipulate right. people to think that what's true is false.
Yeah.
So this would be like.
Question
like,
their own like perception.
You're mistreating your wife, and then you make that's a lot of the times they use that example, but then you cause her to think that it's her own fault.
Yeah, yeah.
That she's doing it to where she accuses
you're crazy.
Herself.
You're crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you're trying to make them think that they're actually crazy, and then
they start questioning reality.
So let me ask you this: isn't that like a form? You guys ever heard of the Stockholm syndrome?
Yeah.
Is that gaslighting?
Yeah, kind of.
Also known as Jedi mind tricks.
In the Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah. Or it puts people within that
these are not the droids you're
mindset.
Yeah, so you're up there and you're preaching that hell isn't hot, but all the people in your church know that hell is hot, but then you're going to get them to start saying amen to that.
Amen. Yeah.
And even though they know it's wrong, but they're following you because you're their pastor
yeah.
and they have trust in you, so right. you're going to get them to start saying amen to what they know is false.
And that's why the Bible says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. We're supposed to prove all things, hold fast that which is good. So it's like, we never want like blind followers.
Right.
No.
Or people just follow you blindly and it's just like you say something from the pulpit and everyone's just like, amen, and it's just like, wait a minute, that's not right, but I guess he's my pastor, so I'm gonna say amen. You know what I mean? You wanna make sure that you prove that, you know, according to the word of God.
Or like you got people who got into the Bible and all this because of the new IFB and new IFB pastors, but then you start and they're in your church and they know that the new IFB is good, they're a part of it. But then you start throwing shade on the new IFB, and now they're like, the new IFB's bad. I'm sticking with my pastor.
Because yeah.
And now See, like, I don't. These now these are all bad guys.
Here's the issue I have with that. It's just like, when you're new IFB, when I like when I say I'm new IFB, that's not something you can change.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be able to change because when we say we're new IFB, in other words, it's like we're saying who we are.
Yeah.
Like these are our core beliefs, core values. This is just who I am. This is not who I became. Yeah. This is just who I am.
Yeah.
Because it's what we believe. It's just the biblical beliefs that we have. So if you change that, you transition out of that way of thinking, it's like, were you really new IFB then?
It's like when they called them Christians at Antioch. Well, they and then as they went forward, they're like, well, we are Christians. This is who we are.
Yeah,
this
is who we are.
That.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So there's no such thing as being, well, now I'm not a Christian anymore.
Yeah, now I'm not part movement. Of the new IFB like, or whatever.
Are you Christian? Or
then you were you ever really part of the new IFB?
So like the new IFB just represents following the Bible.
Well, the new IFB just represents a group of believers who were independent fundamental Baptists. But we have these secondary doctrines that we agree upon.
Yeah.
And really, we fellowship a lot because of the fact that we agree on these areas.
And we don't compromise.
You know? Well, yeah. It's like being a Baptist in the first place. It's not like it's the Baptist isn't a religion or a thing like that. It's just a name that was put on people who are following the Bible. So whether you want to say like, well, look, they're Christians. Look, they're Anabaptists.
Yeah, and the only reason we got to call each other new IFB is because of the fact that the old IFB obviously doesn't agree with us in those areas.
Yeah. Right.
In these whether that's Israel, you know, the rapture, the timing of the rapture.
They've left off the Bible.
Right.
Yeah.
For traditions of men.
Like, when I go soul winning, if someone tells me, like, what kind of church do you pastor, I'll say it's an independent fundamental Baptist church.
Yeah.
I don't even say a new IFB church.
Yeah, I don't either.
But when I'm talking amongst my pastor friends and things like that, like or to my church, I call myself a new IFB pastor. Like that's what I am.
Yeah.
And I know the new IFB doesn't exist as far as like a denomination is concerned, but as far as beliefs are concerned, absolutely exists.
Yeah.
You know? And I think people try to use the new IFB to give themselves a platform and then they use gaslighting to try to convince the people that were reached by Pastor Anderson, you know, to try to see it their way and manipulate them into believing contrary to what the new IFB believes.
Yeah.
And they're like, now's our chance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now that we've got a fall.
They pull that rake and try to grab
exactly.
as they can while they
try to manipulate.
Good analogy.
Yeah.
They manipulate. That's what they're doing.
Oh, the coronavirus, this is my chance.
Yeah, like Boyle.
Yeah.
Pastor Boyle used that. You know? And we were just talking, it's funny, it's like, this guy is over here talking about how we're all scared and during the coronavirus. I was like, dude, weren't you scared to like tell your church what you believe about the rapture?
Yeah.
Little sissy, weren't you scared to like change your doctrinal statement on your website because you're scared of your church members? He didn't want to come out to say that he believed in a post-trib pre-rat at his old church because he was scared of his church. Hypocrite.
And then they voted him out anyways, right?
Yeah.
For being a coward, hiding under the blankets.
The new IFB is like the same thing that happened when the IFB started. It's just like they were Southern Baptists, and then they're like, "Wow, these guys are going liberal. I got to separate myself from these people. Keep following the Bible." They called it IFB.
Yeah, because they were just like, called Baptists.
The IFB is liberal, so now it's like,
all right, now we're getting a new IFB.
We got to do it again.
The Bible. I'm not going to stick to your traditions.
Right.
I'm going to do what the Bible says. So now it's called new IFB. Someday, hopefully not. If we
so that up, that shows you stop. That in order to combat that, they have to like manipulate people from their pulpits and say weird stuff like that. Like, don't preach from Leviticus 2013, and that doesn't edify anybody.
That doesn't edify anybody. We've heard the reprobate doctrine. It's like, come on.
Well, you know what that tells me? It tells me you're probably not reaching a whole lot of new people then.
Yeah.
A lot of these new IFBs.
I mean, hasn't Pastor Anderson, how long has he been a pastor for?
15 years.
He's still preaching things that he preached 15 years ago because he's constantly reaching new people.
Right.
You know, you can't expect the people in your church to just all know the same doctrines and stuff because you're going to reach new people who don't know those things.
Yeah.
But if you don't reach new people, then obviously everyone in your church knows those things.
Yeah. See, but the thing is how did the IFB become so like liberal and how it is now? Because these people come in and start throwing water on it, cold water on it. But, like, we got to keep that culture of, like, of calling those people out. Like, nah, buddy, you ain't going to do that.
Oh, yeah.
And if we don't do that, then this movement will end up being liberal. Then we'll have to separate from this. Like, you know what I mean? So it's, like, not going to happen, dude.
Well, I think, the nobility of the new IFB is that one characteristic of the new IFB is that we do call people out.
Yeah.
Like, the old IFB didn't – I mean, you had some, but a lot of them didn't call the names. And I think it's for that reason that a lot of people were able to infiltrate and change and gaslight and manipulate and change doctrines. Whereas the culture in the new IFB is that we do call people out.
Yeah.
No shame.
Yep.
Like if there's a so-called new IFB pastor who's teaching some weird stuff,
Yeah.
Or an old IFP pastor who claimed to be new IFP, like Manly Perry. We have no problem just dropping the name.
Let them be ashamed.
Nope.
Yeah, call them out. You know, and then you have your people, oh, why don't you just go to the brother in person? Well, because he put it out in public.
Yeah.
His sermon, he put it on YouTube for everyone to hear.
So it's these people that are too
scared. So if that's something that he personally believed, why don't you just keep it to himself and his church? Yeah. He posted it online for everyone to hear.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, he's opening himself up to scrutiny. You know what I mean?
You're a public figure and you're saying things publicly.
Yeah.
And then...
You're going to get rebuked.
Have to hear that
exactly.
At my church.
And you know what? Yeah, and you know what? We have brand new people in our church who knows? Maybe they get a recommended video by those idiots. And you know what? They might listen to that. And if Pastor Mejia doesn't talk about it, then they might be carried away with, with those winds of doctrine.
Well, that has happened. That's happened in my church this year.
Yeah.
By more than one person. So, I mean, it just it happens. So...
Yeah.
And so that's why you got to shut it down.
Yep. Yeah.
Like it or lump it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've had people in my church that were, like, siding with, like, Adam Fannin and stuff like that. Like, they like Adam Fannin. They're not here anymore, and thank God they're not, because they were stupid.
Well, the whole thing, so I preach a series, like, every time a false prophet dies, I preach
Yeah, you have that. Roasting why is so-and-so roasted in hell?
Right.
You've got that market corner.
So what Pastor Perry said was, nobody roasts in hell. So, I mean.
Yeah.
Is he taking a shot at you?
Kind of seems like he might be. Maybe not, but, like, I mean, that's what I preach, that they're roasting in hell.
What's going on? What's going on, Hike?
People don't roast in hell.
No, not yet.
Nobody roasts in hell. Nobody might say they fry like a hot dog.
Folks, don't you know the reason they burned the sacrifices with fire is because they had to eat them.
That's their meal.
That's so their stupid. Meal. I mean, come on. Something wrong when people just I mean, I have notes. I have tons of notes when I preach. But it's just like he just reads only from his notes. He just goes down the line. That's weird. I use my notes as a template.
He's pretending.
Yeah, it's like not from the heart.
Yeah, because he can't, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaking, so he can't speak from the heart.
Yeah, and then in the beginning of that sermon, the one where he's like about Judas being having all those converts, he's like, you know, I'm just going to, a church member brought this up to me, it's been on my heart. I'm just going to preach it right from my heart.
I'm going to tell you all my heresy right now.
Yeah, so preach from my heart. Like, so Judas, you know what I mean? Good soul winner, that guy.
You know when the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked? I'm about to show you.
that was a weird thing. I mean, that's super weird. I mean, a corrupt tree cannot bring forth good fruit. That's what the Bible, what Jesus Christ himself said in Matthew chapter 7.
Yeah, so in that sermon, so to cover that, he said that, well, the fruit, that's talking about the fruit of the Spirit, like, you know, what you, how you act.
Oh, I think patience. And
is that what he said? Or is he said the fruit is what the things you say or something like that?
Yeah, well, that's what he's saying.
Say? Well, Billy Graham, I've heard Billy Graham sermons where he said it's all by faith, it's by grace, you know, and then the next thing you know, he's saying it's repent of your sins. So the false prophets can say right things, and they do say right things. That's how they trick
There people. Is truth to what he was saying, but it was mixed with a lot of lies, and it was just completely out of context.
Yeah, that's called a liar.
Yeah.
Just like you could be like, oh, hell's not hot one place, and then you're like, that's not what I meant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's what they erase it,
then
bro?
Take
like,
down your whole sermon.
Exactly. Bro, if what you said was true, and if you stand by it, and you're saying that we were taking you out of context, why did you take it down?
Right.
Yeah.
Why did you take it down? And by the way, he preached that sermon long before he uploaded it. Because that's what he does.
Yeah.
Mm. He preaches a sermon, then he waits for a while.
He also disables comments on all his sermons.
Because he can't handle it. He can't handle people calling him out on the comment section. You know?
Because people are cussing on it.
Oh, well, you know, it is what it is. Dude, I get a bunch of comments on my thing and people criticizing me.
I delete some of the most vulgar things. Yeah, but, most of the stuff is...
People who just mouth off or something like that.
Whatever.
Let them
Jesus
alone.
Rolled up right into, like, the synagogue and started preaching like against it. He's like, I'm going to go to where they disagree with me at.
Yeah, I mean, it's the YouTube comment section. Like, you can't handle that? It's like, it's people typing, bro. Like, that's
the thin
Does that skin. Destroy your day or something?
That's like a lot of these like new IFB like bozos. They're like so scared of like drama.
Whoa. New IFB bozos. What?
Well, former.
Hey,
new
this
IFB.
Guy's using some weird terminology up in here, bro.
You know what I meant.
Where have you heard this before?
Yeah, I've heard this. This sounds familiar. What do you think, Pastor Thompson?
I'm just kidding.
Like go ahead. No, the real new IFB bozos, right?
Like the
new
IFB
bozos.
Like,
yeah, who are not really new IFB.
Exactly. Yeah. Where they're like, so they're scared of like drama. They're scared of division. Like
don't go to any church.
Yeah, or don't go to any church. But they're like, super thin skinned. They can't deal with disagreement. But they don't even know that like they're being independent fundamental Baptists. They were born out of division, like what Ray was talking about.
Yeah.
They were came out of like this like controversy and they
and they were
off.
Unapologetic. And let me just say this, just for the record, my sermon that I preached at the Red Hot Preaching Conference, I've never apologized for anything of that I've said. Right? I'm not apologizing. Just in case someone's out there claiming that I did apologize or something, that's a straight up lie.
Dang, I think this needs to be me.
Are you saying
you know what I'm talking about?
Are you saying I just want to apologize
for absolutely nothing? For absolutely nothing!
Yeah.
I just want to say that I want to apologize for absolutely nothing!
Yeah. The king does what he wants!
I don't apologize for that.
Michael Johnson would be like, yeah, Bruce News over there. Nope. Quoting Conor McGregor, here's what Conor McGregor said, he'll fight Jesus.
Go watch my sermon if you want to understand the joke.
Yeah.
I'm not apologizing for. Well, it was going under here.
Yeah.
Oh, snaps!
The spaghetti's here.
I didn't apologize for anything. I don't take anything back. I mean, did you see the sermon come down? No.
Maybe you should preach it again.
I'm just saying, in case someone out there is claiming that I've just taken things back or whatever, I didn't take anything back.
It's the Red Hot Preaching Conference.
It's the Red Hot. It's the Red Hot.
Yep.
Pastor Jimenez is awesome. I'm thankful that he allowed me to come down and preach. Yeah, the one he preached is awesome, too. All the sermons at the Red Hot were awesome.
Call it Red Hot for nothing.
Hey, so all the sermons were like calling people out, and then Pastor Anderson comes and preaches against marijuana and stuff.
Yeah.
It was great, dude.
You didn't want to show anybody else up.
Well, it's just like, you know, like whether Pastor Anderson calls someone out or preaches against marijuana, it's just like the Red Hot Preaching Conference is always going to be preaching against something.
Yeah.
Whether people or what the actions of people, you know?
So, yeah. And he was like, none of that was spirit filled. It's like, so you're saying that when you preach against somebody, it's not spirit filled?
Yeah.
I mean, just open up the Bible and look at any book. You're going to find people getting preached against.
Yep.
Pretty much. I mean, getting their faces.
Well, Manly
off.
Perry said, you know, I've been marked by the new IFB. I'm glad I've been marked by the. Good, because we're about to mark you some more. Pull out the Sharpie. We're about to mark you up, dude. We're not done with you. Guys, it's wicked, dude.
Yeah, the problem with gaslighting is, or lighting gas, it'll blow up in your face.
Ooh. Dang. That's pretty good.
Sponsored by Pepsi.
He's drinking a Pepsi right now, guys. Yeah, everyone just go ahead and just destroy Marcos in the comments section right now, because you know everyone's going to do that right now. Drinking Pepsi, you wicked.
Don't worry, I'm going on keto. Again.
Again.
He put essential oils in that before he drank it, though.
You want to talk about the prison industrial complex?
Yeah, let's talk about that for a little bit.
So tell us about it.
So I'm actually, you know, by the time people see this, they're going to see the sermon or hear the sermon that I'm preaching about.
Yeah, speak up.
The sermon I'm preaching about it tomorrow night.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Basically, what kind of inspired me to preach about it was I have a friend that's in jail. And
he's in prison?
Yeah, he's in prison right now in California. And basically what happens when you go to prison is that the first thing that they do is whatever race, whatever race you're part of, they come up to you and they try to get you into their gang. And if you're on your own, you're going to get messed with. But if you're in the gang, then you have to put in work. So you could go in for like a 6-month stint and then end up a lifer.
Yeah.
And it happens a lot.
Yeah.
Like, because they're like, oh, stab that dude. And then they catch you on camera doing it, and you get new charges.
Right.
And, like, you just, all that stuff just accumulates. But the prison industrial complex is basically like the war complex that we have. The
military industrial complex?
Complex of war. Yeah, so it's basically kind of the same thing. It's like this institutionalized thing where you got people that are contracted to, you know, just like the in war, they people are contracted to make the bullets and the guns.
Yeah, basically the prison industrial complex is meant to basically perpetuate the creation of criminals.
Yeah, exactly.
That's basically what it is. Yeah. Keep them criminals or make them criminals to keep them in that.
Yeah. Super criminals. Make them super criminals.
Yeah. Because, you know, because they're making money off of that.
Yeah. And so they get three hots and a cot, you know, they get a place to sleep and food, and people have to make this food. And so these private places buy and build prisons, and then they put people in there. And their intent, they really don't want them to go.
Mm-hmm.
They really don't want to rehabilitate them. What they want to do is institutionalize them.
Yeah.
And it's super wicked. I mean, it's not, I mean, if you compare what God's program was compared to what you see nowadays,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not even close. So Joshua, when Achan, you know, made the trespass and stole the Babylonian garment and the wedges of gold and the
silver, accursed thing.
The accursed thing. They put him in ward
right.
until they could find out what the Lord was going to, what his judgment was, and mm-hmm. that was to stone him with stones and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, or the son who blasphemed, right?
They put him in ward, and that just means it's a temporary holding cell.
That the mind of the Lord may be revealed unto them, what should be done right. to them, basically.
So you should get your judgment swiftly. But supposedly in this country that happens, but it really doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's basically how much money do you have to pay the best lawyers, and most people don't have money to pay the best lawyers. And so people just get institutionalized in this country because the prison industrial complex, it's a big system. It's not just the people that run the prisons that institutionalize them. It's the prison people themselves, the
yeah.
people in prison. They have their own codes and rules and... You know, if the Mexicans are going to go against the whites, then you're in. If you're not part of it, then you're the one that's going to get stabbed
yeah.
or whatever. So you have to roll with your race, which, mm-hmm. of course, we don't believe in race. But I don't believe in prison. You know, I think, you know, the Bible is very clear that, you know, you're fined, you're beaten, or you're killed.
Yeah.
Or a combination of them. You know, like if a woman grabbed a man by the stones when they're fighting,
right.
her hand was to get chopped off, right?
Yeah.
So, but if a woman is, you know, there's a fight that breaks out and her fruit departs from her.
Where they basically, like, let's say they kick her in the stomach.
Yeah.
And she has a miscarriage.
Right. So when that happens, there's a fine that takes place. But if any foolishness happens after that,
if there's mischief that follows.
Yeah. Then it's
eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. Yeah. Life for life.
Life for life. Yeah. So like it could be. You know, and then, you know, the people, like if they found a dead person just like out someplace, they had to get together and try to discern, like, who is this guy? You know, just like
investigate.
We do today.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's nothing wrong with like investigating crimes and,
right.
and putting people and making them get the justice they deserve. But the justice that they're meeting out in this country is not always just.
Well, it's just that it's not about justice, because what you're saying is basically. The justice that they're trying to mete out has money involved. It's like, how can we make money off of the outcome right. of this situation, basically? And the way they make it is by putting them in prison, which ultimately makes the money. That's why the prison systems are filled with people.
Right.
Innocent people, too.
Millions of people.
Yeah, like judges can be shareholders in that prison.
Really?
The buildings.
Wow,
of, oh,
I didn't know
absolutely,
that.
Yeah. That's why they have the incentive to fill the prisons.
Man, that's just
That's even crazier.
It's like owning the hotel, right? Because prison to them is like a hotel, and they just send the occupants there.
Yeah, so they lobby for the laws, for crime laws.
Yeah.
People like, you know,
to make them
tighter. Well, that makes it easier for them to condemn people like at the drop of a hat. That's why you have a bunch of innocent people in prison.
Well, think about this. The governors nowadays, they don't even put people to death anymore, and they used to put people to death.
Right.
Like they fried... Or, you know, Jeffrey Dahmer got killed in prison.
That's Ted Bundy?
Ted Bundy was
put to death. He was executed.
My mom said that she was at work that day, and when he was being electrocuted, everybody went into the break room and watched it on television or whatever.
And then people were celebrating and everything.
And they put something in the microwave.
Dang.
To like honor the family. You know,
was he like electrocuted in an electric chair?
Yeah, I think he did.
He was. He was. He was fried.
So they put something in the microwave and like burned to celebrate.
It's like an effigy. You
know? Yeah.
But people like that was like the last really.
But then they realized that they were money makers, so like we got to keep them alive.
Yeah.
That's what it's like. Well, they're doing 200 a life or something. 200 years.
200 consecutive. Yeah,
what does that even mean?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Super weird.
It's unfortunate because there are people there who obviously have made mistakes in the sense of like maybe they stole something,
right?
Or you know they were caught with drugs or whatever. But then they're doing these crazy amount of years in there, and it's just like that's not the answer. And so there's this book called The New Jim Crow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you told me about that book.
Yeah, it's talking about the prison systems and whatnot. You know what Jim Crow law is? What is that?
It's like there were racist laws that were put forth so that like black people couldn't ride in the same part of the bus. Or
so they're saying that the prison system is basically the new Jim Crow.
Yeah.
Because when someone goes to prison, let's say black people or Hispanics or whatever, you know, they have all these felonies on their record. They have all these things on their records, and they can't like live normal lives even when they do come out.
Yep.
So it just completely tarnishes their reputation.
Yeah.
So if someone goes in there because of robbery or, you know, because of drugs or something like that, but then they get reformed, so to speak, you know, if they've done their time, even though obviously I don't agree with that,
right.
But let's say they've done their time, it's like on their record.
Yeah,
well, or maybe if they had a gun on them or something, you know?
Right.
So instead of being black like or of some other race, you're just a felon.
Yeah, you're just a felon.
Yeah, felon.
Exactly. It's no longer about the race. It's just now that you're a felon.
And now you're predicated on being a felon.
Right. Now you can't get a job. You can't earn certain credits or whatever. You can't buy a house or something, you know. And you're just kind of ousted from society because you have that tarnish on your record.
Right. So they go back to what they know best, which is crime.
Yeah.
So like women that go to prison, like I was watching a documentary about this and basically, you got pimps that are scouring the, because you can see their faces on the internet, and they just go and look at the ones that they think that they can make money off of, and they write letters to them and tell them they love them, and then they trick them to coming back to their house, and then it's like a prison for women where they're pimping them out, and if they don't do what they're supposed to do, they beat them up or they kill them or they, you know.
Or you have people who like, you know, we're thieves or whatever, and they can't get a job, so they go back to stealing, and then they get caught again, and they go back into prison.
It's just like an endless cycle, basically.
It's an endless cycle.
Yeah.
Sad.
Yeah, and it's not only the government that's doing it, but the people within the prison system themselves. They're like, you got these shot collar guys that they're the leaders of their race in that prison, and so those guys control everything that's going on. So if you're doing two years for vehicular homicide or something. And they're like, "Hey, you're down with the brown, or you're a white boy, or whatever shot collar that is." They can tell you, "You got to go stab this guy. Or we're gonna stab you."
Yeah.
And then when they catch them, they try to make it where they don't get caught. But you know, I'm sure that they set it up because
they got to put in work.
Yeah, they got to put in work. Yeah. They got to hide.
They get protection.
And sneak drugs in and all.
They
got
to pay for their protection.
Exactly.
And you can't just be a lone wolf out there because
unless you're a Christian. Well, like if you're a Christian or a pastor,
no. Like if you're Hispanic and you go in, you're part of the South Side, so they make you work out every day.
Yeah,
And if you don't work out with them, then you're gonna get 13 second beat down every day.
If you're like a pastor or a Christian,
there's no exception for anybody. So look, the only thing that they expect you look. So if you don't want to be a criminal or be part of the or get involved with things, then they won't ask you to do anything. The only thing they expect you to do is if a riot pops off, a race riot or something, they expect you to jump in and fight.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
But they won't come to you and be like, "Hey, stab this person." If you're just a normal guy, you're not part of a gang or nothing, they won't get you involved and stuff like that.
Because I've heard stories where people
want to get involved, you can.
I've heard of people going to prison and they're like Christians or whatever, and they're like, they didn't have me get involved in anything.
Yeah, well, they'll leave you alone for the most part.
Yeah.
But they just expect you to work out, and then if a riot jumps off, you better be on our side.
Right.
Yeah.
Like,
well, I mean, I guess it's not bad to work out, right?
You're
yoked in prison.
Well, prisons in Cali, they're different than a lot of different places.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, Cali, it's military.
Yeah.
Like, you're doing...
Yeah, well, the Hispanics are the ones who...
homo kind of stuff in Cali.
The Latinos are the ones who are the biggest...
Everywhere else. In the States, you can expect, like, homosexuality, sodomy. They're okay with that. But in California, if you try something like that,
tell you that?
You'll get killed.
That's
because I heard like the prison systems in New York, they like accept that stuff. But in California, they don't.
Yeah, the Mexicans do not
tolerate that at all.
I'm not surprised.
The Mexicans don't tolerate anything that shows weakness.
Yeah.
Mm. Sodomy's one of them.
Well, if you think about it, there's a movie called American and Me.
Yeah.
American you guys remember Man. That movie? It was about the Mexican mafia.
Yep.
Well, if you saw the movie,
yeah.
the leader in the movie yes. gets raped
yeah.
when he's younger.
Yes.
And it's based on the Mexican mafia. So they threatened the actor on... What's his name?
Edward James.
Yeah, they threatened him because they said that never happened.
Yeah, but that's not all they did. You know that?
Oh, yeah, I know.
So
there's a bunch of stuff.
So there's the kinds of actors that were in the movie that got killed.
Yeah.
Really?
There was a lady in the movie. So, like, after that movie, if you have the DVD of that movie, they have, like, behind the scenes where they made the movie, and they have, like, all these people that were in that hood, and they, like, they did interviews, like, you know, with the directors of the movie and stuff. Well, a lot of those people got killed.
Yeah.
Really?
So,
they were messing around. They didn't like that.
There was, like, a middle-aged lady, like, in her 40s. And they killed her. They killed her. They killed
just
because like,
they
guys
didn't.
Who
the
were
the leader was just
it?
Like he was gonna kill that guy because he got depicted as being like he getting raped. He's like that never happened. We don't play like that.
Yeah. So they tried to throw the homo stuff in there, and they're like,
Yeah. Well, they tried to depict. They tried to depict him getting raped. Yeah, being weak. And that never happened.
So because he gets like in the movie, the guy gets raped, and then he kills the guy who raped him. That's like his first kill. But they're like. Because apparently the guy he's playing is some guy named they called him Cheyenne, and he was from so you can, like look him up on Wikipedia and stuff. But they said that he got raped, and that's like big. That guy was a big time guy. So
that's crazy.
California prisons, if you're in like the main population, and you're in a cell, and the new guy that comes in, it turns out he's like a rapist. Or as a child molester, if you don't kill him, you're done.
Yeah, we're talking about that. So I knew a guy in our old church that he was doing some time, and he said that basically, you know, he had gotten out and he got saved, and you know, he was serving God, but he was saying that when they're in prison, they would not tolerate pedos at all.
Yeah.
And anytime a riot would pop off, they would look for the pedo to kill him
as an excuse, basically.
Yeah, they're like, go to the pedo cell.
Yeah, because like with the Mexicans, when you go into the LA County. They get your, because everybody has like a tag on
your paperwork.
That has your,
paperwork.
Your case number. Like you have to report your case number and then what city you're from.
And they find out you're a pedo, you're done, dude.
And the reason they do that is this, because they're locked up and they're thinking, you know, my wife, my children are out there. And here's this animal who's out there amongst them.
Yep.
So they think their own family.
Hey.
When those people
and
come
some
in,
of them
you know what?
Have things done to them too.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so like possibly. They want to get
for that
payback because you know that maybe some of the reason why they're messed up in the first place.
Look,
is somebody did that.
You don't have to be a Christian to know that pedos deserve the death penalty, no matter by whose hand.
Oh yeah.
You have people who are just not Christian at all, and when they hear about pedo being killed or something like that, it's just like they're like celebrating. Yeah.
But what's crazy about prison is that they actually run the prisoners are the ones that run the crime on the streets.
Yeah.
So
they're the shot callers.
So if there was no prison though, there wouldn't be that kind of power. So
The
fact that prison exists, it gives them power because they know. So if you're a criminal, eventually you're going to go to jail.
Yeah.
And the fact that they run the jail is their power on the streets.
Well, that's why a lot of like the young guys, they want to go to prison.
Yeah.
That's absolutely true.
They've actually said one of the things that I want to happen in my life is I want to go to prison.
Is it true that it's safer, like if you're like a gangbanger or something, it's safer in prison than out on the streets?
Well, I mean.
Well, for the fact like the Mexicans can't, like right now, you can't fight another Mexican in jail. You have to pay $100 a fight. So if you have a problem with someone on the street, this guy did something to you on the street, and you see him in jail, you have to pay the shot callers $100 tax to even fight the guy.
But they then you both you get jumped him. Afterwards. Like even after
you
fight the guy,
but, you got to pay up money. If you don't pay money and you fight him, then you'll get jumped.
It's more like regulated.
So
it's very everything. It's organized crime.
It's organized. They have even.
But there's money's being made on both sides, though. Yeah. It's just like,
It's super wicked. It's a wicked organ. You know, the whole thing is super wicked.
Super wicked.
Yeah.
You know, so my sermon, I'm gonna just kind of break down what God says that we should do with people, and you know what. Kind of what's going on in our country right now. So
amen. And there's safe people in prison today.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
There's safe people. There are good people. You know, I know that a lady over from Verity has her husband in prison.
Yeah.
Miss Tamara. Mm-hmm. And you know what? But you know what? God's using him greatly though.
Yeah.
I mean, he's getting a lot of people saved.
Man.
He's preaching the gospel there, and God's turning it into something good.
That was one of the first mission fields. Even like,
I got a picture. Oh, I gave out those hats at the Red Hot Preaching Conference, and I gave like six or so of their disciples, they got the hats to them, and I got a picture of one of the guys that's in jail, and he wears it every day.
That's cool.
That's, or he got awesome. Out. He got out of jail and he wears it. Everything.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it's a sad thing, but you know that's why you got to do it God's way.
Right.
God's way is always the best way to do it, and if you don't do it God's way, ultimately that system will ultimately become corrupt.
Yeah.
And you'll have wicked people who end up taking over that system and using it for their own gain and their own means. Yeah. You know, and that the prison industrial complex is a perfect example of that.
Well, I think that, you know, the thing I do like about their rules in jail, the one thing I do like is that they do kill the pedos.
Yeah.
They kill them, and, you know, because they know they're not, I think part of it is they know they're not going to get the justice that they deserve.
Right, exactly.
Because they're letting these people out in 60 days, and they're going out and reoffending.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's disgusting. I had a friend that went to jail, and it was because he got into a fight. He got into a fight, and he was fought like he beat up like two or three guys, and he was a military guy, and so he ended up having to do I think like almost a year in jail over that. And the guy that came in while he was there doing that time was he was in the Big Brothers program. You know what that is?
Mm-hmm.
Where you go and you're trying to be a big brother to help some poor unfortunate kid, and he molested that kid and he was out in 60 days and back out on the street.
Oh man.
While my friend was
that's why people resort to like vigilante justice. It's basically, it's what it is. It's like just vigilante justice. I was actually reading about this because you were talking about Pablo Escobar a long time ago. And since like the government in Colombia was so corrupt and like was just like completely incompetent in getting him and stuff, there was this group you might know about it called Los Pepes.
Yeah, Los Pepes, I know
that. They were like pretty much like a vigilante, like paramilitary group that were going around like just like executing these these like cocaine narco traffickers and all this stuff, and these people were like hella wicked. They weren't just like slinging drugs or whatever. They were like calling out hits. They were like killing innocent people, putting like car bombs out there and stuff like that. So when the government fails to do its job, a lot of the time you'll find like it's not right to do vigilante justice, but a lot of time you'll find like just regular people will sign up to put these people
in death. Actually, it's interesting you said that, because in Guatemala, where my dad's from, It's a little town, and for a long time, like a major gang, you know, the gang in Central America, MS-13 was there, and they would, you know, obviously they've permeated all those countries there, but there was a mafia in that town that was ran by a family, and they basically became vigilantes because they felt like the government was not handling the gang problem there properly, so they took matters into their own hands. And they basically like executed and wiped them all out from that area. And they're not allowed to go in that area. And if you have tattoos in that area, you get investigated by that mafia.
Wow.
You know, because I remember I was there, and it's not just them. Like they've taken matters to the point where like they kind of like run the police over there as well.
Yeah.
So I was over there, and I remember there's a guy who had basically, you know, I don't want to say, but he committed a crime against a little girl. And he ended up killing her, and they basically said he's not gonna live till the sun sets, basically, and the police didn't get him, but the mafia did. And I remember I had come back from Tikal, which is where all the pyramids are at, where a sightseeing, and he was just laid out on the ground. I was like, that's the guy who did it in the morning. They found him.
You shot him?
I saw him dead. I didn't see him get killed, but they said the mafia is the one who took care of him.
Dang. And they just left it there as like a message?
Yeah, and the police was standing there, but they knew how that guy died. Mm-hmm. It was just like, well, they're the ones who are handling the business.
Even in Mexico recently, there was just like an older man who was running like a little paramilitary force hunting down the cartel and stuff. And he was like employing like mercenaries from America, going like ex-veteran guys are going down and helping him and stuff. I don't know if he's dead yet, but this is like
what I heard about
this. It was like 2013, 14. He was down there doing that. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
What's stupid is because like the government in a lot of these countries, like even like Colombia with like the narco, but even here, like in the U.S., they like limit themselves, and they do that with like a lot of stuff, like in the Constitution, where they give like freedom of religion and all this stuff. But like, if you know this guy is wicked, and you know this guy is like committing all these crimes, and you know, like you have proof beyond a shadow of a doubt, but you just can't do anything. Your hands are tied because you have to follow this man-made law. Where you can't just go and like serve justice.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what happened to Colombia. Like the government was like tied its own hands.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, we can't do anything. This Pablo Escobar has rights, so we can't just go in there and like.
And that guy, check the cameras. They good? I thought I heard one of them shut off.
That was
or something.
Me hitting the table, I think.
I forgot what I was gonna say.
Pablo Escobar.
Oh yeah, I mean that guy's a hero today still.
Yeah, he's still prayed to, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah,
like he's murals, like sainthood.
They have murals there. They love Pablo Escobar.
In Medellin, I think.
Yeah, Medellin.
Yeah.
The Medellin cartel. They have them. They have murals. They love. I mean, they love Pablo Escobar. There.
Well, because he helped the poor.
Yeah,
right.
That's how he won the hearts of the people.
So he basically immortalized himself through his crime and everything. Yeah. And but that guy was—he
was notorious.
Isn't that weird how people like have this love affair with criminals that are like super wicked, like Jesse James and Bonnie and Clyde?
Well, his mom actually still to this day. I think his mom is still alive. Escobar's mom. She still denies the fact that he did anything wrong.
Whoa.
Yeah. She still says, "Look, my son didn't kill anybody. He was innocent. He was wrongly framed."
What did he say? Plata or what?
Oh, plomo.
Plomo.
Yeah.
Basically, that? Like
it's money or lead.
Either you take the money or you take the lead.
Yeah. That was his. Like, that was his.
Silver
like,
or lead.
Silver or lead. Yeah.
His MO.
Silver or lead.
So you think about like these abortion doctors that get killed by people. It's been a long time since I think something like
that was like happened. In the 90s, right?
But like George Tiller, he like bragged that he'd killed like a million abortions himself or something like that.
Oh man.
You know, and then he gets shot in church. Like, he's in a church, and someone there just is like, I can't handle this. And they just shot him right in the middle of the church service.
Yes. Whoa.
And
when was this?
I don't
this
know.
This was, like, in the 90s, I think.
Pull it up. See if you can see when George Tiller was killed. They call him George Tiller the baby killer. You ever heard of him? You never heard of him?
I've never heard of him.
So, I mean, it's just hard for me to think that God guy's in actually the church? Is mad about that guy getting smoked.
Who was mad about it?
I just don't think it's hard for me to imagine that God would be upset.
He's just saying he's
just smoked.
Like anybody would get mad that he got, that he died. It's like, well,
like even God himself, it's like, you know, if the guy was, I mean, if you've killed a million children or
you're bragging about it,
yeah. You've killed a million children.
You're wicked,
then you're
man. That guy's
church.
A reprobate. That guy was a reprobate for sure.
Yeah.
Is that him right there?
Yeah.
George Tiller.
Kansas.
Oh, man. Wicked.
George Richard Tiller was an American physician from Wichita, Kansas. He gained national attention as the medical director of Women's Health Care Services, which was one of only three abortion clinics nationwide at the time, which provided late termination of pregnancy.
Late termination. That's like not 8 months, 7 months.
Died in 2009.
Oh, dang. This was recently.
That was not long ago.
That was not in the 90s.
Wow. Oh, there it is. Recent. Assassination of George Tiller.
Yeah.
Assassination.
On May 31st, 2009, George Tiller, a physician from Wichita, Kansas, who was nationally known, let's get that, was murdered by Scott Roeder, an anti-abortion extremist. Tiller was killed during a... What? Tiller was killed during a Sunday morning service at his church, Reformation Lutheran Church.
Of course, they let him in.
Yep.
Where he was serving as,
serving as an usher.
Of course,
what
they let
him in. What in the world?
What?
Not only was he a member of the church, he was an usher. Tiller had previously survived an assassination attempt when Shelly Shannon shot him in the arms. Dude, shoot him in the arms. Roeder was arrested within 3 hours of the shooting and charged with the first-degree murder and related crimes 2 days later.
Anti-abortion.
So someone already shot him, but he survived.
Yeah, Roeder publicly confessed to the killing, telling the Associated Press that he had shot Tiller because preborn children's lives were in imminent danger. Roeder was found guilty of first-degree murder and two counts of aggravated assault on January 29th, sentenced on April 1st, 2010, to life imprisonment without any chance of parole for 50 years.
Oh, they punish
what
him.
The heck? That's how you know this country's messed up.
Yeah,
so
they put that guy in jail for 50
unbelievable.
Years.
Unbelievable.
But yeah, his nickname is George Tiller, the baby killer.
Oh.
I don't know where he, like, I just heard that he had bragged about the fact that he...
Look that up.
So... Obama's U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder, that's Obama's guy.
Where's this
calling, on the bottom of shooting aftermath, calling the murder an abhorrent act of violence. Little faggot. That guy's wicked. They ran guns into
an anti-abortion extremist.
Unbelievable.
Project Fast and Furious?
Operation Fast and Furious, yes. See.
But like I said, it's just like, I mean, I'm not going to shed a tear.
Yeah.
No way.
That guy getting smoked.
Uh-uh. Yeah.
I'm not
care.
Like advocating people do that, okay?
Disclaimer.
Hey, but if and when it happens, we're not going to shed a tear. We're not going to mourn for that.
Am I sad? That
I got kids.
That one abortion doctor was killed? No, I wish he would have got more of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, for real.
Amen to that. It's good. Did you find it? Marcos?
Or like those people that got to form like a group to like defend themselves against the cartels and stuff, like that's kind of just like self defense. Like,
yeah.
Like, what else do you?
Well, the government
that's just like a society of people.
Enough is
I don't
enough.
Know if that's full on vigilante. Like,
they'll call you a
know.
Terrorist for doing that, though.
Wow. Yeah.
But it's like when people aren't serving out the justice that God would call for it. You know, it eats people up.
Yeah.
Well, do you guys know about like Ruby Ridge?
No.
Yeah.
Have you heard about that? Yeah.
What is that?
You had a sermon about it?
Yeah, I preached a sermon about it.
Dang. Mm. Well, basically, correct me if I'm wrong, though, but they were basically these people out in some rural state, Montana or something.
That's
like
Idaho.
Idaho. And they were just living on their own. They weren't paying any taxes, but they were off grid. So they were kind of like Amish people, basically. Mm-hmm. The Amish don't pay any taxes. They don't funnel anything into the federal government because they're completely self-sufficient, mm-hmm. right? So what happened is they weren't paying their taxes and the IRS was going after them and they just wouldn't pay. They wouldn't pay because they didn't need
that's
to.
That's not true. What? So here's what happened. Okay. So he was like a farmer in Kansas or something like that. I'm not sure of the state, but I know that it was in the Midwest somewhere. But they said that they thought that the Book of Revelation was about to start happening. And
these Amish people?
They're not Amish, but they were farmers or whatever, and they just saw what was going on, and they thought, well, this is what's happening now. And so they sold all their stuff and moved to Idaho, and they were, like, living off the land and all that stuff. Self-sufficient. You're right about that. But what happened is there's a lot of, skinhead type. There was, like, a church, and it was, like, for white supremacists, but there was, like, a variance of different types of people there. There's the hardcore, like, you know, Nazis. But what happened is he wasn't getting any fellowship and they were lonely. And so they were just going to the closest church they could, which was this neo-Nazi church. So he wasn't necessarily a neo-Nazi. I think he might have had ties to them. But
this is
the
guy who...
The feds entrapped him. Yeah. And there was feds that were going to that church and they made him, or they paid him to saw off a couple of shotguns. And then they were like, okay, you're going to turn on everybody now. And that's what happened. And so he refused to appear in court.
Yeah,
when
that's
he
what
refused
it is.
To appear in court, they came. The marshals were watching him for a long time.
It was the ATF, right?
It was federal marshals. I'm pretty sure. Marshals, yeah, probably. But anyway, him and his son were walking, and they had been surveying him for a while, and he didn't know it. And so they're walking down this trail. Him, his son, and their dog. And the feds shot the dog, shot his son.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. And then like a friend of theirs got wounded or something like that. And then so they actually shot. His wife while she was holding her baby at the front door.
Yeah.
And it was a complete massacre. It was a big ordeal. Like, if you ever have a chance to look
into
it.
The feds did that.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was the ATF. The
was there a movie alcohol, made tobacco, about this? I've tobacco. Seen a film.
There's a documentary about it, but, like, because, like, some of the kids survived. I think a couple of the kids survived it. But, like, they were trying to get him out of there for a long time. But, like, that just shows you, like, the sermon I preached about was actually, I was just saying, hey, you know, we're not called to go out in the middle of nowhere and just live this like weird lifestyle like that. We need to be where the people are, and otherwise, you're not going to end up getting messed up with some white supremacist, you know, church because you're lonely and then entrapped by the government.
Can't go in the middle of nowhere. Try to live in the middle of nowhere.
Get a U-Haul.
Become a U-Haul Baptist.
Run away from the fight.
Yeah, and like, you know, I preach that sermon.
It's like that guy who took off from he went to Egypt. Remember that in the Book of Jeremiah? He ran away from the fight. The other prophet?
Yeah, Hananiah.
Was it Hananiah? No, Hananiah was the false prophet. I can't remember the other guy's name in the Book of Jeremiah. Like, he took off. He ended up running away. He was scared.
Thou speakest falsely. Are you talking about that?
The guy, he took off to Egypt, and he ended up getting killed in Egypt anyways.
Yeah.
He wanted to go off grid.
Yeah, you have all these people running away from, like, the big cities or whatever because, like, oh, they're too liberal. Oh, no. And they
need to move out in the middle of Idaho where the government's everything. It happened in Idaho.
Yeah, exactly.
Killed by the government.
Yeah, go out there and get killed by the freaking ATF. They'll shoot your dog, too. They'll shoot your dog and your kid and your wife.
Sometimes the safest place to be is in Goshen.
Amen.
Exactly.
Not sometimes. It's always the safest place to be. Where Egypt is just completely falling apart, just being destroyed by the hand of God. But if you're in Goshen, you're good to go.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of these people are freaking about the election, but whichever way it goes, we're in Goshen. We're sitting pretty.
Yeah, who cares? Exactly. We're good to go. We're serving the Lord.
Yeah.
Bring on the New World Order.
Bro, I know. If they think this this is bad, accelerationist.
Look, he's austere.
He's like, bring it on.
He brings out his little abomination of desolation, little model.
This is what it's going to look like.
He throws a rock at it. He's like, made of Legos.
It's made of Legos.
Marcos has been on this the past couple days. He really wants the world to end.
Dude.
He's a accelerationist.
I'm about to start a GoFundMe page for the temple.
Donate to the third temple.
Dang, dude.
I'm about to just become an engineer. Just
if they think this is bad.
Contracted out to Israel.
The tribulation.
They got another thing.
I'm called to Israel.
Yeah, they got another thing coming.
Called to build the temple. Yeah.
That sermon's just called like Lessons from Ruby Ridge.
What's that?
In case it's a shameless plug. It's called Lessons from Ruby Ridge. Lessons is what the title of the sermon was. If you
watch that sermon, get it to 1,000 views, amen. I'm going to watch it. That sounds like a good sermon.
No, it's got 2,000, but yeah.
it's got 5,000, but I appreciate that, Pastor.
I was preached at our church plant in Spokane.
Mm.
So.
Oh, nice. Amen.
There's all these people in Idaho that are like these preppers and stuff, and they think, oh, I'm going to go live off the grid, and I'm going to wait, and I'm going to fight it out during the tribulation. I got all my stockpiles ready to go. And
Is there a bunch of Seventh-day Adventists in Idaho?
I feel like God's going to let those people get done in first. You know?
The other bit, what's that guy's, Koresh? Do you know who I'm talking
about?
David Koresh. Wasn't he also like some
off-grid guy?
Yeah, prepper out in the wilderness.
Yeah, he was a pervert, too.
What? Yours is like louder than everybody's, but we have no labels on. I'm not going to bash the podcast. But.
Dang, what the heck?
What do you mean we have no labels?
Yeah, bashing the sound system.
We don't know which mic is which.
Well, because everyone is like, everyone moves in different places.
Just color code them.
Mine is the first one on the far left.
Need to color code the mics. Like put a blue tape.
We're having some
tape.
Technical difficulties.
Makes sense. Just turn everyone up.
Yeah, they're already
turn
up.
Me up.
They're already up. Like, if not, it's going to start peaking, like, bad.
Probably what we have to do
is... Pastor's the only one who speaks into the mic.
That's right.
Consistently.
Dang,
consistently, yeah. Shit. I'm the one who consistently speaks into the mic.
What?
This thing is full of my spit.
Wait, Adam speaks pretty good. He's been speaking pretty good into the mic. I see you. Hey, why are you turning me down for?
That's my first time.
Why are you turning me down for, Ray? This guy, bro.
That was like on Sunday evening or Thursday evening. I should turn you down because you were calling me.
Adam runs the PA at church. Like, he's the one who does the PA, so he's all turning me down when I'm ripping on him.
You get like that one pastor. Hey, you back there. Hey, you and your little kingdom.
Yeah.
Pastor, he's all, I love you. Come here.
I know what video you're talking about.
That's a funny video.
That is
dude.
Cringe, dude.
Well, that guy just rips on everyone in his church.
You know, I love you, brother.
He gives him a hug and everything.
He's all, you all want me to marry you. And he's like, you guys don't even come
to
church.
You're the sorriest church member I have.
I was like, dude, okay, all right, I got to tell the story. So one time we went to Tulare. I think it's called Tulare, right? Tulare. And it's like in the middle of nowhere in Central California. It's one of those Bakersfield type cities. But
shout out to Bakersfield.
Shout out to Bakersfield, by the way. But we're there. It was a tour group, and I was preaching at a church. It was like a small little church, right? And you know, I was just preaching on church attendance because what pastor doesn't want you to preach on church attendance, you know? So I'm like ripping on that. And after I was done, like the pastor, he got up, and at first I thought he was like he didn't like the sermon because he was making some faces, and I was like, oh man, maybe he didn't like the sermon. But then he got up and he was just like, yeah. Well, what he said was right. He's like, Bobby, where were you on Sunday? I didn't see you. Hey, when I was sowing on Saturday, Tommy, you weren't there. You're always my sowing part, but you weren't there. I was like, he started calling out like different people in his church.
Hiked him up.
Hey, that's how my old pastor was. Remember Pastor Hampton?
He used to call people out.
Light him up.
Dude, he just preached like another half of the sermon, dude. Yeah. Like he just started calling random people. And then you see the people in the church are just like nodding their heads, like, yeah, you're right.
That's funny, dude.
Imagine we started doing that. I kind of do that sometimes.
And I know you're not tithing Adam. 10%. I know you're not tithing 10%. I know how much you pay.
Sometimes I call out Adam. Who else do I call out pretty often? I think it's just Adam. Huh?
Just me. I'll take that.
He's in the PA booth. Well, one time I needed some information. I needed some information. I was just like, how long was that? I was like, Adam, how long was that? Come out. And then how long did the Roman Empire last for? He comes out of the PA booth. A really long time.
To be honest, I couldn't remember within that 5 second time span.
Have you ever seen the video where that pastor says, you know, I said, when are you going to get serious with God? Like he punched that.
Oh yeah, he just
I just crumpled the kid.
I pushed him as hard as I can.
What?
That's cringe, man. This is pastor was just talking to some. He was talking to his church about one of the kids in his youth group or something, and he was trying to tell him like how serious he's going to get for God, and he says he just punched him in the chest.
No, but I think he actually like punched him in the video, right?
No. He's just telling the story.
No, but yeah, he goes through the motion. He goes through the swing of he's like. Him right in the chest.
Yeah.
Did he, the kid.
He brings up some other kid and punches in.
He's on, let me show you.
Look just like this.
Yeah, he cried like that too.
Well, the question.
Yeah, he stopped breathing like that too.
Well, the question is, did the kid get serious for God though?
Yes, he did. He got saved. He said. Got saved.
Right it works.
There. You got saved right there.
I doubt
it works.
That.
That's like that, a man that's, that no, that's, no, that's like that's like Ken Hovind. There's that story about Ken Hovind.
They where used a gun or whatever.
Yeah. Is that true?
Can't believe anything believe that man says.
Story, basically, bro. the story is like when he would go out soul winning.
Yeah,
say,
he'd stick a gun a in the ribs toy. And be like, if you died there, if I shot you, basically.
Yeah.
It was a toy T-Rex he pulled out.
Glontosaurus.
Well, there's a thin layer.
Glockosaurus.
Heck, dude. He's like, if you're that one character in the bathroom stall in Jurassic Park, would you go to heaven?
I wish I understood that reference.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what you get for watching movies out of order.
Yeah. That's what you get from just being watching movies in Canada. Just kidding.
I know. They called it probably the first Jurassic Park over there or something.
We never got the first one, unfortunately.
Yeah. Really?
The guy, he doesn't know what Jurassic Park is.
Land Before Time.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Littlefoot.
That's a good movie.
Littlefoot
Tree Star. Tree Star.
Family and You're One of Us.
That's a good movie. You guys are ripping on. That's a good movie. I love Littlefoot.
The actual movie Dinosaur from Disney.
Littlefoot's my boy.
Shout out to Littlefoot.
And Petrie.
Fourth grade, represent.
Ducky. Shout out to Little
Ducky.
Little Ducky.
Shout out to Littlefoot. Little Ducky.
I'm proud.
Sarah. And the little leaf that they never ate.
R.I.P.
Sticking at him, dude.
Sorry about that meteor.
This guy's funny, though. Hey, this guy's funny. This guy makes me laugh. It's true. This guy, bro. What the heck?
Shout out to Littlefoot. Yeah, I like that.
Rest in peace, a hope scientist. Like, call you again.
What the heck?
Oh man.
So, about, what about that election going on, huh?
I think we need to call it a night. Pastor Thompson needs to get to bed.
We haven't talked about President Joe Biden was announced today.
President elect
Joe Biden.
Sleepwalking in light of the Bible tomorrow.
Yeah, I need to get this guy back to the hotel, man.
Dang. All right, next
How's
week.
How's the cameras doing? They're good. It's 9:15.
Yeah, Pastor Thompson's good.
Are you sure?
Nah, we should probably get going.
Yeah. See? I know what's up, dude. I'm a pastor,
cool
bro.
There for a second,
I'm a pastor. So I know what's up.
Just drink another Red Bull. No. Sponsored by Red Bull.
Well, you know what? Pastor Thompson, thank you for joining us on the Rod of Iron podcast. Yeah, always
absolutely.
A pleasure to have you
it's
down
great.
Here in Southern Cali.
My first and last appearance.
He's climbing up hills. Looking at stinking Korean temples.
Yeah.
Going to Korean
bells.
Barbecues.
Yeah,
with
we
dragons.
Eat Korean barbecue. We took them to the Korean friendship.
You got
to
cook your own food. What's up with that?
I walked that rice off, though.
Yeah, it was good. Hey, wasn't the Korean barbecue good?
It was bomb, yeah.
It was good.
I got mud on my shoes, though. I got to wash off stuff. Did you get all the mud off your shoes? That
yeah,
was
I just
weird.
I just dragged my feet on the grass.
That was like spooky mud.
Spooky mud? It was like haunted?
Yeah, man. I won't come off my shoes. Maybe it wasn't mud. I don't know.
Thank you for tuning into the Rod of Iron podcast. Just as a reminder, if you want to watch the full episodes, of course, you can watch them on YouTube. If you just want to listen to them, you can go on fwbcla.org and listen to the full episodes on there. Or you can listen to them on Spotify. We are on Spotify. But make sure you tune in next week for episode 11. Thank you for joining us. God bless you. Have a good one.
Trump 2020.